Financial Living Center again today. We carrying on from yesterday, talking about not being on the same page spiritually. Big deal, big topic. Maybe you are on the same page and you say, hey, we're doing great. But listen, there are a lot of people in your church, a lot of people that I know, a lot of people we talk to every day who are not. And when you're not on the same page in this area, it's a big thing. You're not on the same page with parenting, it's a big deal, or finances or what have you. But when you're on the same page spiritually, at least you have a starting point, a foundational point from which you can work out some of these other issues in your life. But this is a really big deal. We want to help you as we hear from people who've said, this is one thing I've learned, or have a question for us. Facebook friends, thank you for joining us as well today. So this is Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer, Gino, and Stephen. And we're going to start with a man's perspective here today. Donovan is on the line in New Mexico. Hey, Donovan, how you doing?
Hey, brother, how are you doing?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your perspective on this issue, this question?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just wanted to send a huge shout out to all the ladies fighting for their men. From the perspective of me being a loser and a guy that is not that obedient to God when I was younger, and then from the opposite spectrum of a wife that is fighting for your man, like my wife did, you know, I'm so appreciative of her never giving up on me. And there's a lot of times when I made a lot of dumb mistakes and I was stubborn and I felt like I knew what was better for me. Because I was lost, there was a lot of things that I was going through that I couldn't see or recognize, and I was too prideful to admit to my faults. But my wife knew what my potential was, and she saw that all the way from the get-go, and she never gave up on me. And I'm so appreciative to that day, because there was moments where I said some, you know, things that I shouldn't have said, and, you know, that I wasn't as kind as I should have been, you know, in certain moments. But yet she loved me and she helped me through all of that. So if you're going through that as a wife, you know, I just want to say thank you for doing that, because us men need it in this day and age. There's a lot of things that we're dealing with, you know, social media, you know, political issues, you know, people going through a lot of trauma. Left and right, you know, there's a lot of dependency that people are going through, alcoholism, drug abuse, just unresolved trauma in general. And, you know, we're trying to navigate all of that. And sometimes, you know, as men, it takes us a lot longer to get through that process. And in some cases, you know, it takes a lifetime. So my journey, my healing wasn't overnight. I'll tell you that. It was years in the making. But just the persistence of my wife never giving up on me, praying for me, you know, believing in the victory that God was going to have over our marriage, and then her, you know, guarding me and pursuing me when I couldn't understand that's what I needed. So if you're going through that, just speaking from my personal experience, you know, that there's men out there that don't realize they need it, but they do need it. And I was one of those.
Well, and what I don't hear is she didn't criticize you. She didn't beat you up. She didn't try to put you in the box. Yeah. She didn't play the Holy Spirit. What you used words like love, pursuing, caring for you, patience. And these are the things that really make a big difference. And so one man's perspective, it's a great perspective. Hey, Donovan, thank you, man. Speaking of men, two in a row on a topic like this, that's like a bell ringer for the show, right? So, Ken, which line is Ken on? Ken must be on line number two. There we go. Ken, is that you?
Yes.
I found you. There you go. All right. What's your perspective on this, Ken?
Well, I was that guy who... my wife prayed for me. This went on for 15 years. I mean, she was awesome, and I didn't see it. And I had people praying for me, and I just didn't want to see it. I didn't want to pursue God. I didn't want to go to counseling. I was that hard-headed guy who, no, this is not what's going to help me. And we would get into arguments about it, and instead of me pretty much talking about it, I would close up and I would just yell and try and end the conversation.
Yeah.
And she pursued and helped me, tried to for many years, and it just didn't happen. And we finally got into an argument the one night, and I said, you know what? I want a divorce.
Wow.
And that was the worst word that I could have ever said. And immediately, I did not want that. I knew I didn't want that. And I tried to talk to her to go back the other way. I said, I'll go to counseling. I'll go to doctors. I'll take medicine. I'll do whatever it takes. And by that time, it was kind of too late. She had closed down already and kind of had to shut that off because I had been like that for so long that she had to make a choice. And she said, you know, after we had talked later about things, that she had talked to God over and over about it. Is this what you want me to do? Is this what you want? And she got the sign from him that, yes, that's what needs to be done. And as soon as that happened, I, like I said, regretted what I had said. And a friend of mine I was talking to one day, he just goes, you know, don't forget God. Don't forget to talk to God. And I was brought up a Christian and in the Christian home, but I had gotten away from it many, many years ago. And I just didn't have any reason to go back. You know what I mean? Kind of.
How's your marriage today, Ken?
Well, right now we are going in the process of a divorce. And that's what hit me, and that's what brought me back to God. I've had a string there for a while where my mom passed away, my dad, my brother, two of my best friends, all in a real short period of time, and none of that hit me hard to where I was drawn back to God. And this divorce, as soon as I had said it, and my buddy said, you know, don't forget God, pray to God. And from that point on, like, I immersed myself into God.
Let me speak into your life for just a moment before we go to break. It ain't over until it's over. And I would pray that your wife would recognize that as a Christian. I don't know what else is going on. But this marriage didn't have to end. And secondly, I would say, Ken, make it real for you. Your relationship with Christ is not a reaction to your wife saying, I'm on divorce or I'm out of here. No matter what happens, make this real. Make this real. Grow in your relationship with Christ. Get into a good support system in your church and with other men and allow God speak to your life. And number three, recognize that this is, you're in a crisis stage with everything going on right now. And so move slowly and bring the right kind of people around you. And a prayer for me that I'm going to pray in a moment for you and others. If you're at this point, I pray that this marriage would be restored, that the relationship would be restored, that the faith that you're starting this journey on will become real and vital in your life. And this will be the moment you all look back and maybe at a conference of mine some day down the road, you say, hey, you know, 5 years ago, that was us. And look at us now. Look at us now. Because when you hit the bottom, the only place is up, and you can move in that direction. Let me pray. Father, I do pray for Ken, for his wife. Pray for him spiritually as he starts this journey, that you'll continue to encourage him, give him the right kind of support structure around himself. And I pray for their marriage. I pray for his wife. Whatever tenderness that needs to develop or whatever changes that can take place, I don't know the whole story, but you do. I pray that you'll intervene and work in their life in Jesus' name.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Intentional love. It's the key to opening up intimacy and closeness in your life and marriage.
What's the process to build an intentional marriage? The reality is, there should be a great big sign across our foreheads on the day we get married that says, assembly required.
Join Dr. Randy Carlson for laughter and inspiration at the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night.
It's good to get some updated advice and information to help us with our marriage.
To grow closer in our relationship and just come away with some ideas and some techniques that we can use.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson, and I want to invite you to the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night, celebrating marriage and giving you the secrets to what intentional love can do to create intimacy, closeness, and unity in your marriage.
Don't miss the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night at 7 p.m. Thursday, April 20th at Jack's Nest Church in Jackson. Get your tickets today at theintentionallife.com.
All right, that's Jackson, Michigan, Jackson Nazarene or Jack's Naz Church, just a week away now, literally next week. My wife Donna and I and some of our team will be there. We really enjoy meeting you all and getting a chance to meet you personally. We have our resources there. I got a nice gift for you. I want to challenge you with the one thing message as part of the evening. We've got the one thing wristband. We're just going to have a fun time, but I'll tell you, we don't travel across the country to do this just for fun. We want to help you. And so we're bringing along some content that I think will be a positive takeaway. I've been to enough conferences to know that people leave and forget most of what we heard within the first day. And so my thing at these conferences is to make sure that you, when you leave, you have one thing that's kind of, you know, been glued to your brain as a your one thing for the next 30 days. That's my challenge. What one thing could you do in the next 30 days that make the biggest difference? Maybe for you, maybe it would be your spouse. You might have a change in your marriage that you never saw coming. A good marriage getting great, struggling marriage getting better. Or maybe you're not married yet and you just want to get some input. Send your couples, watch the kids, grandparents, the grandkids, and come and be a part of it. Friday night, by the way, I don't want our Mount Pleasant folks to be ignored. We're just sold out. We sold out a month ago in Mount Pleasant. And so we're inviting people to Thursday night in Jackson. And we do have limited seating at the Jackson Az Church, but I think we still have a seat for you. If you go to theintentionallife.com today, that's theintentionallife.com. All right. We've got some great comments that have been left on our comment line from people all over the country on this thing of not being on the same page. And I wanted to start this part of the show with Betty because she gives us a really powerful reminder. Take a listen.
I just wanted to share that my husband and I have been married for 26 years, and back in the beginning, I was a Christian, but not really walking out my faith, and my husband didn't have much of a faith at all. So as my faith began to grow and I really began to follow God, of course, I wanted my husband to come along with me. But I used to just really just tell him all the time, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, and just really almost beat him over the head with it. I have a friend who woke me up because she's from Massachusetts, and she told me, now, Betty, don't try to be Holy Ghost Junior. And so what I learned was, through my reading of the scripture, I was really convicted that, yes, we're not meant to try to win them by words, but by our actions. And so I just let him see my love for Christ. And he wanted what I had in the end. And the best part of the story is after 26 years, it just made me cry. Last year, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And a friend gave me a scripture a long time ago. It was Acts 26:18. It says, I'm sending you to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God. So we can take and have forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. That's a great scripture. And, you know, for a long time I thought, well, it's not me he's sending. You know, and I used to pray that it would be one of his friends or somebody else. And would you believe that in the end, It was me. So my point in calling is to tell people, don't give up, but just keep your eyes on Christ.
Isn't that good? That is really powerful. Thank you, Benny. You're not the Holy Ghost. I mean, we know that, but come on. We kind of play that part sometimes. Like, hey, you know, God's not quite doing what needs to be done here, so I'm going to jump in. Backing off isn't easy, especially for those of us that like to, not only like to fix things, but we also know how things are supposed to be. At least we think we do. All right, thank you. We're hearing from people. These are folks, friends from all over the country who've said, hey, I want to weigh in on this thing about not being on the same page. Got a question next, I think, coming up from Margie. Go ahead.
My question is, I'm kind of in this new relationship. We're already engaged. And throughout my life, I've attended church a lot of times, and ever since I was a little girl. And I've been working so much lately, I don't really get time. And I stumbled across your radio station, and God's calling me big time. And he wants me to go to church. And I wanted to go last night, and he didn't want to go with me. And so I stayed home to spend time with him because it was my only day off in about 16 days. So I feel I still want to go, and I'm going to go without him whether he wants to or not. And it's not that he's not a believer. He feels pretty awkward being around a lot of people. I don't think he's ever attended church growing up with his mom, but they're not unbelievers. I just don't think they believe it enough to go to church. So how do I urge him? Do you think he'll just follow me if I go?
Probably not. Probably not. Or he will, because he wants to please you for now. And you said you're engaged, but then maybe after you get married, it changes. Been around long enough to deal with people to know that if you're in an engaged stage, you're a fiancé relationship, you're not married, don't expect after you get married things are going to change. Secondly, if you say, hey, God's really pursuing you, then you need to allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life and get some good counseling for yourself. Sounds like you're engaged, maybe living together, expecting him to kind of follow you. He's sort of a Christian, but doesn't like to be around people. What does all that mean? I hear a whole bunch of issues that sort of pop up that'd be fascinating to discuss in some premarital counseling with your pastor. Find a pastor, someone as a Christian counselor, to help you really sort these things through. But don't expect him to just follow you. If you start growing spiritually, and I hope you will, don't then expect that he's going to change. You can pray that he will, but he's got free will, all right? So be careful. Speaking of prayer, I think this next caller really focuses on that power of prayer in her life. Take a listen.
Hi, I'm calling about living with a non-believer. I just wanted to let you know that I pray and I trust him with my husband's heart. He is the only one that wants heart. So I try to be a good example so that my husband is drawn to Jesus. And I pray. I pray that his heart is warm. I pray that 2 to 3 times a day. And I trust God with my husband. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
The power of prayer, certainly. That's good. Thank you for sharing that comment with us. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Now, Paul's writing this, of course, from jail, from prison, and he's writing this to his beloved people. The book of Philippians, is, if you've studied it, you know, is really a book about unity and peace. Paul is writing to the church that he loves so much and calling for them to get along with each other and find peace. Pursuing peace is the topic from our master class from Intentional Living, going to our Intentional Living community this month. And you're welcome to join us here in April, be a part of this, and we'll make sure you receive it, plus our ongoing master class teachings coming to your email each month. All you have to do is very simple. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's our website. You can join us there. Financially supporting us every month. And listen, we don't set some amount. This is just a donation to help us continue to do this as a listener-supported ministry. And we come alongside to encourage you on the journey by being able to send you the teaching every month as a way of saying thank you. Thank you for your support. And we appreciate it. And when you're at the website, that's sort of the center for our connection point with you. 24 hours a day. We have all of our past broadcasts that are there. We've got blogs that have been written by our team, really powerful things that'll help you. We have information on upcoming events like our date nights next week in Michigan and Jackson and Mount Pleasant. All that's available for you there. Just go to theintentionallife.com. More on not being on the same page. Andrea is going to share something about what I think is powerful because she's really addressing the issue of what do you do when you're not on the same page? Do you just stop living your faith or do you move on? Anyway, take a listen.
Hi, my name is Andrea, and I'm just listening to the program tonight about having a spouse that maybe we're just not on the same page spiritually, and kind of how I deal with it. I think I had to be intentional to make a decision to continue to grow with Christ and keep on with my walk, regardless of what my husband decided to do. I had to make an intentional choice that I wanted to do that, take that stand, as well as, you know, teach our children and grow our children in the bow as well. Thank you for your ministry.
Yeah, that's good. You know, doing that with respect and not spite. Big difference, by the way. We can do things to spite our spouse as opposed to love them and maybe in spite of where they are at this moment. All right, we've got time for, I think, a couple more we want to share with you people who are just saying, hey, here's what I'm learning. Allison wants to tell you her story and then ask a question. Take a listen.
Hi, my name is Allison. My question is, my husband and I are both Christians, but he is very antisocial, and he doesn't see the need to go to church together, or he doesn't really see a need to get involved in a community group or anything together. So I always end up going to church by myself. If he does go with me, he immediately wants to leave. And he doesn't try to connect with anybody. He's not very willing to do that with me either. I have a really hard time engaging him, and it's kind of pulling us apart. It's very frustrating because I think that that's extremely important in our relationship, and I can't get him to buy into that. I'd really like some advice on how I can get him on board with being involved together at church and the importance of that. Thank you.
Allison, that's a really good question. And it reminds me, Alicia yesterday on the show was asking the question about what do you do when we're not on the same page? And he interprets scripture differently than me and we argue about it. And I said, there's a point we got to move from your head to your heart. And it's easy to focus on the head part of this, the disagreement. I think you need to share with him, tell him, share with him why it's important to you, why this is important to you. Relationally with him, why it's important to you in your relationship with him, even if he doesn't buy it, even if he's not feeling comfortable. And I would say to your husband and to all men, if you're not feeling comfortable, you know, kind of antisocial, come on. My guess is, and I know some people are, but some of us are not that antisocial. We'll go to basketball games, football games. We'll go to the entertainment stuff that we like, right? Come on. But we're not happy about sitting in church. And you know why? Sometimes it's because we know we're kind of out of our element here. We're not feeling comfortable. We're going to feel like maybe we're being preached at or judged, which, by the way, be careful in the church. Opening, loving, and bringing people in and sharing the truth with them in a loving, positive, but also in a very intentional way. So anyway, Allison, I would encourage you just to sit down with your husband and tell him why this is important to you. Because you know what? I did a whole lesson one time on the cost it is to you as a non-believer being married to a believer when you fight your spouse. It's costing you emotionally, relationally, intimacy-wise. Every area of your relationship is affected because this is such a huge part of their life. And if we truly love one another, sometimes we're willing to submit. That's what the Bible says to us. Submit to them to be a part of what's important to them. Okay? All right. Got time? Let's get Donna on with her thoughts.
When my husband and I married 40 years ago, I was a Bible-believing Christian but had not been a churchgoer on an ongoing basis since I was a teenager. And my husband was he still doesn't go to church very much. But like I said, it's been 40 years. He has seen faith in my life. I am a strong believer in Lord Jesus, have been all along. I am who I am. He is who he is. And that's how we live our lives. However, over that 40 years, he has come back to faith a whole lot more. And he tells me that it's because he's seen me live my faith. Hope that helps somebody else live their faith. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Donna. Listen, I got 1 minute. I want to speak to you who are dating, those of you who are single, getting hooked up, thinking about living together, getting married, what have you. You've just heard 2 days of just a small sample of the thousands of people I've talked to over the years who've not been on the same page spiritually. We call it, biblically, it says not being equally yoked together. And it's painful. In all my years of talking to people, I've never had someone say, you know, what I love most about our marriage is that my spouse and I don't agree about our faith. I've only heard the opposite. Neutral at best and painful and destructive at worst. And so I would say to you, if you're dating, don't overlook, don't minimize, don't assume if you're not on the same page, everything will be okay later. And this is not a criticism to the person who's not a Christian. I would say God loves you. And I hope that you'll make a decision to receive that into your life because God died for you through his son, Jesus Christ. He cares for you and he wants you to be a part of his life forever. But I would say to you as a non-believer today, you be careful as well. Because if you're going to get married to a person who's truly a Christian, I mean, they're going to grow in their faith. Don't minimize that this isn't going to be a bigger issue after you get married. So it cuts both ways. This is painful for the believer and the non-believer in a marriage. It's not just the Christian that's painful. The person who's not a believer in Christ is also struggling at some level in this. So it's sort of a warning from someone who loves you. Be intentional. Don't violate what Scripture teaches. Thanks to everybody. Thanks for being a part of the show today. Jennifer, Stephen, Gino, our Facebook friends, thank you for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow with more intentional living. As we continue a discussion we had a couple days ago, I think you'll find very encouraging. Final reminder, less than a week to go for the Intentional Love Marriage Date Nights in Michigan, Jackson. Go to theintentionallife.com. We'll see you tomorrow.